got a mic.
Does it work? Can you hear me? I've never used one of these things before.
I can't hear you.
You can?
Try again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There will be garland to your grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay for some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder, throw in your lots with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but I will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
Can you hear me? What a glorious day to come celebrate our fathers, especially our heavenly, perfect Father in heaven. So let's go to prayer with him. Father, thank you so much for being a perfect Father, for loving unconditionally, for knowing that every word that you say is truth. You, Father, are mighty and deserve prayer and praise and worship, Father, and we give it to you today. For we love you and come to you. As we celebrate our earthly fathers, and so much more, we celebrate you. Bless this day and bless the fathers that are here. May your Spirit come upon them and just renew them and fill them, Lord, that they realize what their role is in your overall plan, not their plan, but your plan, God. And may they glorify you in words and actions. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you know when Father's Day was first started? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It was invented by Sonora Smart Dodd, whose single father, an American Civil War veteran, William Jackson Smart, raised her and her five siblings. It was first celebrated on June 19, 1910, in a Methodist church in Spokane, Washington. Go figure. 2 years after the first Mother's Day was celebrated. Mother's Day was proclaimed a holiday by President Woodrow Wilson in 1914, but it took till 1966 for Father's Day to be recognized by President Lyndon B. Johnson. So I want to start with a little story about fathers. It's not really about fathers, it's more about children. So there was this family, and you know how kids want pets, and they promise everything under the sun that they'll take care of that pet and everything else if you'll get it. Well, what happens maybe even as soon as a few days afterwards? Mama's taking care of that pet, right? Not the kids. So these kids said they wanted a hamster, and they pleaded up and down, and finally they got a hamster. Then, a month or so later, Mom said, Danny has got to go. They had named the hamster Danny. And the kids were little upset, but, you know, the new had wore off. They didn't really care that much. And they said, well, what about if we clean his cage more often? Maybe he's not as messy and doesn't eat as much. Could we keep him then? Mom said, no, he's got to go. And another one said, well, what if we put him outside? Maybe that would be all right. Mom said, no, he's got to go. And they said, go get the cage and we'll take Danny to his new home. Oh, we thought you said daddy. Now, see, the point there, though, is sometimes that's how kids look at their daddy, as if they might not miss him because he's not around as much as he should be. He's not filling his roles that God gave him to fulfill. So today is a call to fathers, a call to be righteous. And we're going to use an example of Noah and his righteousness. There's a problem in this country, and that's fathers, or at least the lack thereof. If you look at it, it's probably the biggest reason that our society is going downhill. It's the reason that there is more divorce. The reason that so many issues are coming out is because kids don't know what their role is because their dads haven't taught them. In many homes, fathers don't exist at all. 43% of U.S. children do not have a father living in their home. That's almost 25 million children. That leaves 57% of homes that have a father living with them. But is he behaving like a father? Is he behaving like a godly father on top of that? All you have to do is look at statistics and you can see. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapes come from fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenagers come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicide come from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients with chemical or substance abuse come from fatherless homes. 85% of youths in prison come from fatherless homes. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need emotional and behavioral problems and issues. On the other hand, not only are kids that their fathers are active the opposite of that, but they're more likely to get straight A's, not straight A's, but A's in school. Big, big difference on the impact that fathers have in the lives of their children. Fathers are absent. This is an old statistic, but in 1999, 72% of the U.S. population saw fatherlessness as the most important family and social problem facing America. That was 16 years ago. What if we took that poll again today? How much worse would it be? It's time for fathers to take a stand, plain and simple. There was a man who kept a diary. One day he entered, "Went fishing with my son today." Parentheses, a day wasted. His son also kept a diary. On that same day, the son made this entry: "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." What a difference in your perspective and how you spend your time. What's valuable to you? God gave fathers duties and responsibilities to train up their children in the admonition and wisdom of the Lord, to fear God, to love Him, to respect Him. As we learned last time, God fully revealed Himself to the children of Israel in mighty, wondrous acts so that not only that they would see it, but Egypt would see it, that the whole world would see it forevermore because it was recorded in His Word, to see that He is God alone, that He deserves respect and honor. But fathers have fallen behind because they've chased creations more than the Creator. But God set His people free that we could worship Him. In Exodus 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his officials, so that I may perform these signs of mine among you, that you may tell your children and your grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord.'" Are we doing that? Do our children know the Lord? Are they following Him? Do they fear Him? Do they love Him? Do they understand who God is? We are to worship God. We are to set examples so that our children will know who God is. so that they may worship the Lord. From Scripture, in Proverbs 1:8, it said, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction." Well, how can he listen if you're not teaching him? He's looking at your actions. He's listening to your words. If your words aren't consistent with your action, there's a problem. If there's no words at all, there's a problem. We've got to decide who we will follow, who we will serve. Our children are depending on it. So I want to review Proverbs just a second, what we read this morning, just hit a couple highlights. Verse 8 said, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions." In verse 10 it said, "My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them." This is some of his instructions, wise instructions, from a man who had everything and realized that chasing after things in this world was foolishness. Verse 15, "My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths." Verse 18, "These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves." Verse 19, "Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it." Verse 22 says, "How long will you who are simple love your simple ways?" Is that what we're doing, is loving simple ways? "How long will mockers delight in mockery, and fools hate knowledge?" Verse 23, "Repent at my rebuke." Then what will happen? "I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings." Verse 29, "Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their scheme." You get what you sow, right? Verse 33, though, complete opposite. There's that word, "but." "Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." What a promise from a man who had everything, but knew that without God it was nothing. It's our responsibility, men, to take a stand, to worship only God. Satan wants to distract you. Even the American dream, if you read up on it in history, has changed so much. It was originally that we could pursue religious freedom to worship the one true God. Then it became more financial. Who knows what it is now? So that you can change your sex, gender, race. That's your freedom. That's what's heroic these days. Wow, how far we've come. It's time to take a stand. Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 10 commands obedience. Starts out and says, now is the time, Israel. Hear the decrees and the laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them. So first of all, you have to hear. Second, you have to follow. So that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord God of your ancestors is giving you. Because everything that is good comes from God. Verse 2, do not add to what I command you. Our wisdom is foolishness. We can't add to God's. And do not subtract from it. But keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow him in the land you're entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to all nations, that they may see God through you. You will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful. Watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. It's your role, men. Maybe your children are gone. You've got grandchildren. You've got neighbors. You've got friends. There's no time to stop obeying God's command and setting an example. Verse 10, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. Teaching and training is a father's responsibility. It's not someone else's. It's not the school systems. It's not the internet. It's not mom. It's a father's responsibility. There's a big difference between birthing a child and raising a child. Big, big difference. But men in this world today seem to think their obligation is over once they've birthed the child, that they've given the life. They give it up to the mom to do the raising. And that's why we're such in a state that we're in. And that's no offense to any women here. Thank God you're doing as good a job as you are, because so many men are absent. So it's time, men, to take a stand, to be courageous. Your children count on it. So let's look at Genesis chapter 6. One righteous man saved his entire family. Starting in verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was evil all the time. Not some of the time, all of the time. The Lord regretted, or God was sorry, that he had made human beings on the earth. His heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But, complete opposite, but one man, Noah, found favor or grace or acceptance in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous, a just, a complete man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways, all of them. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy them and the earth, so make yourself an ark. Go, do what I have commanded. There was only one man out of whatever the population was on the earth at this time that was righteous. And not only were the other people good people, that we think good people will go to heaven, these were evil people with evil thoughts all of the time. When you say, I'm a Christian, some people might laugh or jeer at you or snicker or walk away. But if Noah said he was a Christian and he acted like a Christian, then he had a fear for his life, because there was no authority there. Men were evil all of the time. So there was no one to protect him but God. And he stayed true and stayed focused. I couldn't do that. I would love to say that I could, but I couldn't do that. Logically, in my wisdom, I'd want to say I need to protect my family, so I need to hide them. We need to talk about God privately. But God saw Noah walking faithfully with God. And it said that he was blameless among the people, so they knew his actions. He didn't hide in a hole. He proclaimed who God was in his voice and in his actions. And he taught his children. And God was to the point of regretting that he ever made human beings. Sorry, but found favor in just one man. And we're here today as a result. Faithfully walking with God is a father's responsibility. Do you remember your child's first steps? Maybe you do. For some, it's been a lot longer than others, but maybe you remember. You should at least have some kind of, oh yeah, I remember that, but you probably know he walked. But you were so happy, so excited, so encouraging. You held their hand, you pushed them forward, you cheered. When they fell, you picked them back up. When they cried, you wiped their tears. You watched them crawl. Then you watched them take some steps. Then you watched them walk. Then they were all over the place and you said, oh, what am I going to do? But then you taught them to ride a bike. It didn't end there with teaching them to walk. You have to continually teach him to walk. You taught him to run. You taught him to ride a bike. You taught him to drive a car. You were there with them because you love them. There's no difference in their spiritual walk with God. So how are you doing that? Maybe they're gone already. The time is not to stop. The time is to say, wow, I need to walk more if I need to. Because their salvation is dependent upon it. If Noah would have said no to God, or even suppose like Moses did, and I called Moses an idiot last week, please don't condemn me for it, because I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying his behavior is idiotic, just as every one of our behaviors has been idiotic before. When we've said, suppose, God, I do this, or God, I'll do this in my timing, or no, not right now even. But what did Noah do? He made himself an ark. He didn't know why, and he spent forever doing it. He was faithful. I can't imagine building an ark for as long as he did, but he followed God. Genesis 6:22, continuing on, says Noah did everything just or exactly as God commanded. Not only did he follow God, but he followed him to the letter of the T. Go back to Moses again. Moses said, suppose. And then if you read all throughout Scripture after that, it said Moses and Aaron did all that God commanded. And then when God commanded Moses to speak to the rock, he struck it instead. And we think, wow, how harsh God was because he didn't let him enter the promised land as a result. But he did not obey God fully. He took away or added to the commands that God said. But Noah followed God exactly in everything that he commanded. He walked faithfully when no one else would. So what happened as a result of Noah's love and obedience to God? Chapter 7 tells us that. In verse 1 it says, the Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark. Who? You and your whole family. Wow. To know that you did mess up before or anything as a father. It says right here that if you change your ways now and follow God, not only will He save you, but save your whole family. And I don't want to get into debates here or anything. I just want to get into God's promises. You can cleave to His promises. Because I have found you, not your children at that point, not your wife at that point, but I have found you righteous in this generation. Because of one father, his children were saved, his whole family. Verse 2, take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah knew who God was. He knew Him personally. He knew that He was Lord, just like we talked about in Genesis. God introduced Himself in chapter 1, who He was in His mighty power and splendor. And then in Genesis chapter 2, we build a relationship with the Lord our God. Verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his son's wife, all of his family, entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that moved along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. After the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, at just the right time, because it's God's plan, at just the right time Christ came, on that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and their wives, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kind, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. He is our safety and our refuge. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and the waters increased. They lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heaven were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, and all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and who? His family. Those who entered the ark with him. Genesis 8, chapter 1 says, but God remembered Noah. That's cool. God remembered Noah. He won't forget us. It's his story and his plan, and he remembers us no matter how we behave. God remembered Noah and the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Dropping down to verse 15. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. So Noah did. He came out together with his sons, his wife, and his wife's son. And then in verse 20, Noah built an altar to the Lord. Just like we saw in Genesis, after they figured out who God was, no one knew. He built an altar to the Lord to offer to him for all that God does, for who he is, for the safety, the salvation that he gives. Because it is God who does everything, not us. And he taught his children how to worship in righteousness, to worship in truth. He obeyed God, he loved God. He followed God's precepts totally. And as a result, his family was saved. His children were saved. He taught them true worship. And the Genesis account does not say that he ever spoke to them about it, does it? There's that saying that you can live your life and never have to speak a word. But that's a nice thing in theory to hear, because you're actions are speaking so loudly, but how do they know what your actions are speaking necessarily unless you tell them specifically about Jesus Christ? That's when that statement falls very short. I know that Noah preached. The reason I know that he preached is in 2 Peter 2:5. It said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And if you study, that means he was a herald or a messenger vested with public authority. So he preached to others just the same. He didn't just live in that world. He preached to them that God's judgment was coming. Just as Jesus Christ came to the earth and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was vested and secured or assigned by God to declare a divine message, just as we as fathers are to our children and to the world. Noah lived his belief, but he did speak it also. We tend instead to teach God half-heartedly at best. Our actions don't necessarily go along with our words. And our children see that, and they wonder if our faith is genuine as a result. So they go out and test what is real in this world, rather than knowing what is real because we show them what is real. We teach them, we live it, so that they will not forget who God is, that they will learn to worship only God, and that they won't follow another path. Men, I want you to mark this verse in your Bible. So if you've got a pen or whatever, write this down. You may know it, you may not know it. But it's something that I turn to give me the faith that I need. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark, to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, that is in keeping with faith. First part is by faith. Noah walked faithfully with God, obeying all of his commands exactly as God said. When warned, Jesus warned us. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Paul said, all have sinned. And he also said, the wages of sin is death. So we've been warned. In holy fear, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And we talked about Solomon and all of his wisdom. Built an ark, he obeyed God. When God said go and God said do, he said exactly how so I can do it that way. And why? To save his whole family. And that's not the only account in Scripture. When Paul was in prison, he told the jailer what he must do to be saved. He said, believe in the Lord and you will be saved, you and your whole family. By his faith, he condemned the world. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And as a result, he became an heir of the righteousness that is in the keeping of faith. Paul said in Romans that if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, that we will share in his glory. That's why he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a holy living sacrifice. If you look, it's all there. Creation screams out. God did miraculous signs so that we could see, so that we could teach our children to save them from impending judgment. Heaven is real. It is for eternity. And I don't want my child to go there, and I know you don't want yours. And I don't want even my friends to go there. I don't even want my enemies to go there. And that's tougher, more tough, whatever the word is. But with Christ's heart, you can learn to love them and see God's plan. On your bulletin, there's a picture of two little boys on the back. And they're dressed up and they got their big daddy's tie on. And it says, Lord, I want to be just like you because they want to be just like me. Your children are watching you, imitating you to see who you are like. Are you like God? Here's a prayer. Oh God, I want to be just like you so that others may see you in me, so that they may come to you and be saved from the destruction that is coming. Give me the strength and the power to trust completely in you and obey all your commands. Find favor in my faithful walk with you, Lord, and save my family just as you did Noah. Amen. We've got a gift for fathers. It's the Courageous video. You might have it already. Get yours. Watch it again. Give it to a friend. Because it's a challenge to men to be courageous. To live a life in this world when there are so many things distracting you. To live a life that your family will see that you love God and honor Him. So that they will remember Him and that they will follow in His ways. And we've also got a little devotional book. And guess who the first man it is that they mention in there? Noah. Kind of ironic, isn't it? But that's the way things work. So I want to close in prayer and then we're going to have a video. And you can spend some reflection and thought, pray, and then the ladies will be back up to sing. Unless you want to come with them, Barry. Do you want to? Okay. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the examples of fathers that we have, both good and bad, so that we can learn from them, Father. We thank you that one man was righteous in a world that was totally not. That he stood up and he obeyed you to the letter of the law. Because he knew who you were. He knew that your plans mattered more than his own. He wanted his family saved. So he did all that was commanded by you. And you honored that, Father. You found favor in his eyes. So, Father, I pray today that if any of these fathers will seek after you with their heart, if they will follow your commands, that you will hold up to those precepts and you will save their family. And Father, let them see that light so that they will see that they are offering their bodies as a living sacrifice. That you see what they're done and you're pleased with that wonderful fragrance. We thank you today and I pray that each father has a blessed day. Be with those that aren't able to be here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.